Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Dish Softball with your hosts, Ashley Rowley, Shelby Babcock, and Dr. Allie Dake. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And be sure to follow us on social media at Behind the Dish SB. Again, on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at Behind the Dish SB. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of Behind the Dish Softball. I'm your co-host Ashley Rowley along with Dr. Allison Dake and Shelby Babcock. Today, as we had discussed in a couple episodes ago, we have received some questions from our listeners that we want to address. And one of those questions and topics was, how do you lead when you're not necessarily the most skilled athlete on the team? This is a great question and a great concept. A lot of times from the outside looking in, you think your team captains or your leaders are always going to be your best players on the team, but that's not necessarily the case. So we've got a very special guest with us today, whom Dr. Allie is going to go a little bit deeper into her resume and background. But we've got Nina Lewis, who is a youth leadership expert in the Northern Colorado area. So Nina, thank you for joining us today. We're excited to have you. And Dr. Allie, give us a little bit more info on Nina.
Hi, everyone. And I'm so excited to introduce you to Nina. I was fortunate enough, last year we were at the state championships for softball last fall, because in Colorado, softball's in the fall season. And I was taking pictures and I was in the journalist box, and in steps this awesome lady next to me, and her energy was just like happy. You could just feel this like joy exuding from her. So we started chit-chatting about all sorts of things. And well, it turned out that she does youth leadership development. And I'm passionate about this for all of our, as many of you know. And so we started talking, her and I went down a cup, like had coffee and this great conversation. And so when we had this question come up about how to lead, she instantly popped in my mind. So everybody, I want to introduce you, Nina Lewis. She's a Colorado native from Steamboat Springs. She continued her schooling at in liberal arts degree from Colorado State University. She has an amazing photography business where she focuses on sport photography, hence how I met her, and portraiture photography. Like we already mentioned, she has the Youth Leading Youth nonprofit here in Colorado. She started that in 2021. So I'm going to invite her to talk about that. And I know she has some amazing expert opinion and skills development and some hints for you today, you listeners that want to build out your leadership skills. So Nina, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about this. Getting to combine multiple passions of mine, kids, sports, and leadership. So I just right in my niche right here. So let me just share a little bit about my leadership, youth leadership experience. I've been teaching youth leadership for about 18 years. I've worked with a number of curriculums. I helped to develop a curriculum called Kid Lead, and that was back in the early 2000s, which really working on 16 basic important leadership characteristics. And the curriculum, the main curriculum was written for 10 to 13 year olds, because that seems to be a beautiful window to teach a leadership to our kids. At that age of 10, their brains are beginning to change just a little bit. And so they can understand concepts that might be a little bit harder than just black and white concepts. They can dive into the gray areas. And so we can give them some activities and skills that require that critical thinking and manipulating through activities, and they successfully do that well at that age. The other piece of that, kind of being at that 13, preteen type age, is they still are very moldable, and that is a beautiful thing when we're teaching leadership, is let's take this leadership and make it something that is part of them and not something that they put a hat on. So many times, we ask our kids to be leaders, and that's really like asking them to put on a hat and take on this role. So let's back out of that mindset and let's teach these kids from young ages that leadership is just part of something that we do, and it's within us. So if we give them the skill sets, then they just naturally seem to pull out their leadership skills and abilities. So that was kind of the Kid Lead program. I've been very involved in, I'm a Rotarian. And so
What does that mean?
What's a Rotarian? Yeah. So Rotary is an international service organization. We're in every country of the world. And Rotary is best known for the eradication of polio, actually. They pushed that eradication, and we're almost there. We still have a couple cases in the world, but that is one of the biggest things that Rotary has done service-wise. They are very community-based. You'll see Rotary clubs all over. Windsor, I know, has a very large Rotary club. Steamboat had a very large Rotary club, so I got tied in there. And I'm part of the Greeley Rotary Club at this point. One of the things that they push is education and youth leadership. And so they have what we call RYLA, the Rotary Youth Leadership Award Conference. It's a week-long, overnight, intense leadership conference. We offer two of them, one for 13-year-olds, so going into eighth grade, and then our senior high one, which is for incoming juniors and seniors into that next school year. And so that, I actually was a Rylarian many, many years ago. I won't tell you how many years ago, but many years ago. And that was the beginning of really my push for youth leadership. You know, 10, 20 years after my experience at RYLA, I realized how foundational that week was for me. And so I've been fortunate enough to be part of the program. I've served as counselors. I've served as co-chair of weeks and just help with curriculum. So the pandemic rolls along and we shut down everything. And as we all know, that has been such a huge stress for our kids. And during the early onset of the pandemic in 2020, as we were rolling into summer and things were not going to happen for our youth, I found the need in my small community that we had to figure out a way to get together and we had to figure out a way to do things live. We couldn't be doing things on the computer. The kids were already burned out. They had only spent 6-7 weeks on that platform of school, but they needed some human interaction. So my RYLA camps were definitely one of the things that got shut down and we were not allowed to have them. And I took the opportunity to throw it out to my local community. Hey, I'm willing to do this stuff in the park. We will take safety precautions. We'll run them through leadership activities and let's get these kids going. And so that's exactly what we did is we took RYLA, the mini con or the big conference, and we compressed it into really 12 hours of curriculum. I had a number of my big kids that have been doing leadership with me for years that said, Nina, I want to help this. They were served as my counselors. They actually kind of took over the program for me. And that summer, we ran 32 kids through live youth leadership in the middle of a pandemic.
Good for you.
What we found that came out of that is the kids were able to begin to talk and they would be able to begin to express their frustrations, their concerns, express their wants and their needs, and to create a platform. My big kids that I call my big kids, so most of those big kids are either in college or just freshly graduated from college. Same thing, same outcome. So I had kids from the age of 10 to really 25 that were going through the same activities, and I was seeing these outcomes that were similar, whether they were 10, whether they were 25, and their needs. And so out of that, and with some interest of some eyes watching me from my other leadership platforms, we began some conversations of how do we do this in more locations? And so out of that, Greeley Rotary Club put together a foundation. I had no clue that they were doing this. They presented a foundation in my name in February of 2021.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Put an endowment. We've moved it to an endowment fund. And so it's fully funded. And in receiving that foundation originally, I had no choice but to start a nonprofit because that's what you have to do. When somebody gives you money and you have these expectations. So the nonprofit that was formed is Youth Leading You. And the philosophy is to provide leadership opportunities for our youth and to train our youth to lead each other. So it's kind of like this big old Ferris wheel for me of teach my big kids how to run the program and then let the big kids run the program and pulling up with their leadership skills that next cycle. And so what our hope is
we not familiar to anybody.
Yeah, I know, right? That's kind of our concepts too.
Yep.
So yeah, we just hope to get into, you know, all kinds of communities. I had the opportunity last summer to run 3 programs in Denver. And so that was super cool. I got to be inner city Denver and working with a whole different demographic of kids that would not normally get the opportunity to go to an exclusive leadership conference.
Very cool.
That's awesome. Youth Leading Youth.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah. And,
you know, we definitely need to have more conversations as with the Colorado Softball Academy or Futures League coming up. I mean, part of that curriculum is a full circle model where we have our older kids, our big kids, if you call them, coaching our 6U and 8U, because it's part of their leadership development. But if you look at the little ones, right, they don't necessarily look up to Shelby and I and Dr. Alley because we're like old news, right? They're looking up to these high school kids, and so much so that, you know, my daughters, when I go to get cleats and equipment, Mom, Jordan has white cleats, so I need to get white cleats. And I'm, okay, buddy. Right. So we definitely need to join forces and, you know, collaborate to expand the leadership development opportunities for these kids. Now, something that you said was really interesting to me, and I think it's interesting for our listeners, was the age in which you start to teach the leadership development. You mentioned 10.
So 10 was kind of that baseline of that early curriculum. And like I said, we worked with that window because we found that it was really most beneficial, and especially with those abstract concepts that they could really handle them younger than 10. And also there is a gender thing there too. You know, the boys tend to definitely need to be at that 10 to understand abstract concepts. Well, the girls, sometimes we can dive in 9, 8. So that was the main reason we did that window of 10 to 13. But I will tell you, after working in the curriculum just a couple years back in the early 2000s, we did put together a program as young as preschool, because I had been a preschool teacher. I was teaching preschool PE at that point. And I got to the point where I'd walk into a class setting and I can identify my future leaders. At the ages of 2 and 3.
So what would you see? What would you see?
What qualities were you seeing?
You see the kids that are beaten to their own drum. You ask them to bear crawl. You show them, you know, you exemplify a bear crawl. And their creative, unique bear crawl, because they want to push that envelope, right? And so they want to be different and they want to be unique. That's a huge marker of a potential leader. They've got leadership aptitude just already wired in them, because they're not going to stay the course. They're going to make their own course. Mm-hmm. You see that in a classroom setting. And this is any age group. That kid that just always wants to kind of buck the system and buck the classroom. When I would go to schools looking for kids to participate in the Kid Lead program, I would tell my principals and my teachers, I want the kids that are down at this office on a regular basis. Those are the ones I want, because why are they in trouble? And why are they in the principal's office? Is because they're trying to change the course of the classroom. And so a lot of times, you know, our leaders, and this is such a misconception, and especially in our education system, that we look to our leaders to be your straight A students, to be your compliant children. And those really are not your best leaders. One of my favorite things to ask people when I do seminars is, was Hitler a good leader or a bad leader?
Well,
I was gonna,
he was a very good leader, a terrible person, but a very good leader.
Absolutely. He's really one of our world's most powerful leaders.
Powerful, yeah.
By what he was able to accomplish, mm-hmm. his means and modes and him as a person is what makes him terrible.
Divide but, that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just to put that in your mind. And those kids that are pushing the envelope, those are the ones. But then you have to be careful. You know, your leaders are not, I tend to be pretty outgoing and loud. Some of our most powerful leaders are those ones that you don't even see. Like, I call them my groundhog leaders, because you can see them. They're working. They're taking everything in. They're manipulating their own little worlds. And then all of a sudden, after they've done all this navigating under the ground, when they pop up, we all better be ready for what they are going to share with us, because they have taken the time and to plan and to understand. So just being open and in tune to those different attributes and characteristics, finding those little pieces of leadership aptitude. And, you know, here's a good question I get all the time. Are we born with leadership aptitude? Does everybody have it?
Interesting.
I don't have a good answer to that. I think we all have leadership opportunity and ability. And for some, it is easy to be out of a comfort zone and still lead. For many, where they become the best leaders is when they're in their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so as leaders and teaching leadership, what are we trying to do but assess what our gifts and talents are, place our potential leaders in situations where their gifts and talents will flourish. They will become comfortable. They will be successful. And people will look to them because that is their gift and talent. So provide that opportunity.
So many questions that I would love for you to walk through. I'm hoping I don't forget them all. I need to write them down. The first one, at 10 years old, what type of skill sets and concepts are you teaching that age group as far as leadership development?
So everything we do is active learning. We're engaged in activities. So we're working on communication. We are working on having a servant heart and a servant type of leadership. We are working on just fine tuning our skills of identifying our gifts and talents. That's one of the first things I start with, gifts and talents. And then how do we begin to fine tune those gifts and talents? We are working on, there's so many. We're working on trust. We're working on teamwork. The whole gamma of leadership, and all through these activities, some of the activities are large, like gross motor type things, mm-hmm. relays, things like that. Some of them are more mental. One of my favorite communications activities that I do is the leader is given a picture that needs to be recreated by the team that can't see it. And it's got to be all done with verbal instruction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then there's some parameters on it, but really fine tuning communication on both ends. How do we do this talking piece? Yeah. More importantly, how do we do this? Listening. And how do we answer the questions that are going to get the clearest and cleanest answer? So
for an athlete who is more introverted, kind of quiet, what would you tell them as far as how they can contribute to leadership within their team if they're not the most outgoing?
I would want to know, where are their strengths and where do they feel their strengths are? And then let's talk through that of how they can share with their team. So, you know, let's take that quiet athlete that is not a talker, but I bet they're one heck of a listener because they're not a talker. Mm-hmm. And so in a situation, just a skills type situation in softball, go through the skill set and then bring that back around and have them express what they saw, what they heard, and how can that better the team or make the situation better.
Sure.
Because they're the ones that are the observers. So to pull out of them that you have this unique leadership skill that is already programmed in you because you are a good listener and you're a good observer. Now you can talk back to your team of, hey, if we try to do this, maybe we'll be more successful.
Sure. Well, and it, you know, that couples along with, I can't remember what episode it was, but we had discussed everyone on the team has a role.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you're a starting pitcher. It doesn't matter if you are not in the starting lineup, you're a pinch runner, or you come off the bench in a hitting scenario. Everyone has a role, and every role on that team is incredibly important, right? So leadership can wear different hats and have a lot of different faces. Now, when we talk about softball, of course, there are certain positions on that field that are inherently, they inherently require leadership abilities, right? Shelby, on the mound, listen, all eyes are on you. You have the ball every single pitch. You have to possess leadership qualities to be able to succeed at that position. Would you agree?
Agreed. 100%. 100%. Yeah. And being, I mean, and be able to communicate with your teammates. And I mean, catcher is huge. I mean, you see the whole entire field.
Well,
so it's,
and you know, catchers have to be loud and obnoxious is what I tell them all the time. if you are uncomfortable with getting out in front of the plate, if you are uncomfortable with standing tall and verbalizing and yelling, and you second guess yourself, then we maybe need to go find another position. Right. And a lot of times, you know, it's crazy when we are in lessons, you know, there are days where we'll work on communication. And I'll make them come out front of the plate and work on, all right, so here's our situation. I want you to call the play. And I need you to vocalize this because envision you've got parents in the stands. There's other games going on. Dugouts are cheering. It's loud, right? Someone just hit a double, which means people are screaming. And now your center fielder has to hear you because you're calling the play. So you've got to get out front of that plate and be able to make the call of the play and line up your defenses. So now your infield can relay that to the outfield. And there have been times where I've had kids literally cry. They start crying because they're so uncomfortable with that.
Yep.
And so obviously we work through it with them to get them more comfortable to rip off that, you know, discomfort, that band-aid of like, oh my God, I have to talk. Yes, you do. And I'll tell them like, listen, ladies, if you're uncomfortable communicating and being loud and leading your team, then we need to go play a different position because this is inherent in being behind the plate.
Yep.
Right. And you have to feel confident in your call and stick to that call. And leadership comes in so many different forms. As we know, there's your verbal, but there's also your nonverbal. Shelv, what happens? Let's say you gave up a home run or with your pitchers, right? What do you tell them? They give up a home run. How crucial is their body language in response to that home run, not only for them to bounce back, but also their team?
Yeah. Huge. I mean, if you're drooping your shoulders or you're upset or you're given attitude or anything, I say the same thing with, if you don't get a call by the umpire, you can't just give them a look and be snotty and I mean, expect to get a call again. So that's one thing, but also your body language off to your teammates. All your teammates are looking at you. You're the one that has the ball in your hand. If they're not confident in what you're doing, they're not going to be very confident. So
I'm having a total brain lock right now. So help me. Who's the freshman pitcher at OU right now?
Oh gosh. And I'm,
you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
I just watched her play.
That's really bad.
Give me a minute. I'm out.
I know. No, but the pressured situation, and also being a pitcher too, you have to embrace pressure. And that's one thing I really try to put it into my girls when I'm giving them lessons is I try to get them in pressured situations. Like I'll actually put them in certain situations like, hey, 10 burpees on the line if you don't get this pitch right here. Like, and put them in intense situations because you're going to be in that situation and you're going to have to learn to embrace it. So I always tell my girls that too. I'm like, well, if we don't like pressure, we might be in the wrong position.
We might be in the wrong spot.
Because you're going to have the ball every time.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make you a bad person. But
no, not at all.
Right? So Jordy Ball is her name. Sorry, Jordy.
There we go.
My brain literally short-circuited there for a minute. I watched her on Easter Sunday as I'm cooking Easter dinner. I was watching the replay of Oklahoma and Texas play. And Jordy was on the mound. And this young lady's body language and confidence. Part of the reason she's so dang good is her confidence and her body language. You watch her, she gets the pitch, she gets the throwback in between pitches. She's head bobbing, right? She's kind of bouncing around. She's talking, and nobody can see me right now unless you're on YouTube watching this. But, you know, she's pointing at her teammate. She's talking to her teammate. She's nodding. She gets on the mound. She's loose. She's bouncing. And you can just see this confidence from her body language. And what that is doing to her teammates is that's lifting them up, mm-hmm. right? If she's got that confidence, same thing, catchers. Like I tell my catchers all the time, I'm like, if you come out front of the plate and you're quiet, number one, or they can barely hear you. And let's say you just threw something, you know, someone stole and you either launched it to center or didn't get them and you get quiet, your shoulders droop. That is literally the equivalent to taking a needle and pricking a balloon and watching a slow leak come out of that balloon, because yep. you've now taken the air out of your team. They're watching that battery. They're watching that pitcher catcher duo, right? And the nonverbal is almost more important than the verbal aspect of leadership in that concept. Mm-hmm. Now you take other positions, right? And your right fielder, can they be a leader? 100%. 100%. Now they're going to have to be a little bit more vocal because not everybody can see them.
Yeah.
Right. Can you lead from the bench? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Super important position of leadership. On
the
bench.
So Nina, what is your advice to athletes? Let's say they're not the starter, right? They may be coming in off the bench or they're in the bullpen or what is it? How can they lead if they're not the most skilled athlete on the field?
Oh gosh, they can lead in so many ways. I mean, just like what you were just talking about, the body language and the enthusiasm and the love of wanting to be there is infectious. Mm-hmm. And so that is a leadership capability that if you're not on the field, you're not a starting player for this team. You have a role and you are on that team because this is a team and you have a place on that team or else you wouldn't be on that team. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that you belong there and you deserve to be there, even though you're not the starter, take what you have and just bring it to light and be that light when you're not on the field. When you're on the field, be the light. I just bring what you have. And you know, it's so important that we understand that every single one of us, every single child on one of these athletic teams has a gift and talent for that to share with that team. And they are the expert in their gift and talent. And so for us as adults, encouraging that gift mm-hmm. and talent, mm-hmm. there are Absolutely. Three words that are so powerful for our kids. It's, I believe in you. Mm. Yep. Four words. I believe in you.
And it's huge.
And Absolutely. All you have to, your player that's coming off the bench. Why did that coach bring that child onto this team? There's a reason. And we should be able to verbalize what that reason is. Mm-hmm. And take that reason. I believe in you because you're so phenomenal at being you.
Yes.
Well, I was going to share the story here recently with a gal that an athlete I've been working with on her team and in her culture. There was a lot of which are at the higher team level, which uniform to wear to which game, because it's really important as we know what we look like. And the team was having a lot of discombobulation and arguments, and it was kind of getting in the way and causing some friction. And in our mental training, she kept expressing this. Well, she's extremely an organized person. And I said, well, why don't you organize that? Take charge of that. How could you help that situation? So exactly what you're leaning into, Nina, is what are their skills? What do you see? I coached her through how to talk to her coach, and she came up with a plan. She completely organized the whole entire team, has everybody in uniform, and that issue is gone. And she's turned into this team leader that was kind of the quiet one, right? The listener, listening behind the scenes, and came up now is actually a team organizer and found her leadership role. It's not necessarily on the field, like we were talking about. There's all these different components into where the leadership goes because there's so many facets and things needed on a team. So That self-confidence is there and she speaks up now and you can just see her. She got that little bit of self-confidence, like the pitcher you were talking about. I'm sure over time of pitching, she got confidence. She knew, she's practiced it. She did it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the story just leans into for coaches listening or parents mm-hmm. listening, or even you athletes, look at your skill set. Listen to what Nina's saying. She's saying, look at your gifts, look at your talents and lean into them. Where can you contribute that inside of your passion of the game?
And leadership has so many different faces, right? So, and if you think of something, everybody, ladies, please jump in. What does leadership look like? Okay. Well, yes, it can be on the mound with the ball in your hand. Yes. It can be behind the plate with the gear on, calling plays, right? Leadership also looks like picking up an athlete and one of your teammates after a bad at bat, or maybe they're not having a good day and it's off the field saying, hey, you want to go get some coffee and let's talk through it. Okay. That's also leadership. Bullpen catchers. If you're not the starting catcher, but you're warming up pitchers, never underestimate the importance of that role because you're preparing that pitcher to go in the game, mm-hmm. right? Relief pitchers, never underestimate the power of the leadership position that you have. You don't have to be a starter to be a leader. Leadership can be sitting next to a teammate on the bench and just saying, hey, you're good. You got this next time. We got this. We're good. Leadership can be shortstop saying to the second baseman, hey, we're going to work together on this play. You got me a second, right? Leadership can say, hey, do you need to talk? I noticed you've been a little bit down. Are you okay?
Yep.
Right. Coach Sarah in our last episode talked about celebrating your teammates and their successes, being excited. Someone hits a home run, someone hits a line drive single up the middle that scores a run, or someone gets their first hit coming out of a slump in 15 at bats and you come out of the dugout and you're excited and you're cheering for them and you're high-fiving them and you're just pouring into them, loving up on them. That's leadership, right? Yep. Getting excited for teammates, even if they play the same position. Yeah. I just said that. Did y'all hear that? Getting excited for your teammate, even if they play the same position as you, mm-hmm. when they do something really well.
Cause you are teammates.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the same team.
Yeah. That is leadership. So every little piece of that leadership, ladies, leaders are made of so many different qualities and it's the little things, it's the details that make a true leader.
Yep. Right. And there doesn't have to just be one or two on a team. It can be multiple.
And guess what? If you're injured and you can't play, you can be one of the best leaders on the team because now you are a student of the game. One, you're lifting up your teammates. You're telling them what you're seeing and observing, right? Hey, I'm noticing that this pitcher's getting everyone on a curveball. So let's really sit on that thing. She's going to throw it to you. Let's throw it to right center. Hey, this telling your catcher that girl on first is getting a huge lead. Take a shot at her. Little things like that. So if you're injured, you don't cast yourself out. Guess what?
No.
I have had 9 surgeries, y'all. Many of which were during my career. And you know what? I was still team captain. Even though there were times when I was, you know, hanging out, spending more time in the training room than I was actually on the field. Mm-hmm. You can still be a leader. So you don't have to be the most skilled individual on that team to be a leader. It comes in many different forms.
So, Nina, I know you've worked, you know, you have the youth development, youth leading youth, but you also do a lot of sports photography. And so like we met inside the journalist box that day at the game. When you're watching the games and you know that we're our audience is softball related, and you know, what specific skills would you give or encourage girls, our athletes, to really, if they're wanting to step up and be a bit more of a leader, lean into their gifts and talents, we've kind of talked about that. Do you have any like little golden nuggets of advice that you could give them to try to start taking encouragement to do it or to better their leadership or to move it forward down the spectrum?
Yeah. You know, doing these activities, doing the activities with your team is one just beautiful way to begin to make your leadership stronger and then also make the leadership of the whole team stronger. So simple activity like the human knot. How well do we problem solve a human knot? I mean, that the outcomes of the human knot activity can be so amazing. And then especially, you know, if you take some tools like silencing those that are your loudest and you make in the quiet, actually walk through strategic planning of getting out of that. So that's one. understanding visually what leadership looks like. So try to come up with your visual representation of leadership. And, you know, this can be done with so many different activities as well. Being willing to do the uncomfortable. So challenge yourself to do something that you just really don't usually want to do. Make the effort that, hey, today I'm going to do that. Making conscious decisions about how you're communicating within your team. How are you communicating with your coaches? How are you communicating with your teammates? And then even more importantly, how are you listening to them? And that engagement of coming from the heart and having the passion. It's not just the passion for the game. It's the passion for your team, the passion for being part of a group setting. So those are some of the things that just right off the top of my head, make those little extra efforts to do the things that are going to make you a better leader. Be conscious of it. And, you know, one of the techniques we use, and it's probably the most important technique that we use in our activities, is we debrief everything. So you should be debriefing yourself if you're working on this leadership. Hey, what did I do? What did I do good there? What could I have done better? And then what's the best dang thing that I did in that particular situation? So know that there's always work and we can always be better, but know that in every situation you've done good and you've probably done the best that you could in that situation. So,
yeah, I think a big thing that you said, getting out of your comfort zone, that was huge for me. I wasn't always the outspoken person on the field. And I led more by example than being like loud and talking to my teammates. And I had to actually make little goals like, hey, I'm going to talk 2 times this game, or I'm going to actually turn around and like talk to my shortstop, or, you know, those little things to try to just get out of my comfort zone a little bit. And it helped me so much. I am a talker now. I enjoy talking. I'm a very social person and social butterfly. And I just want to key on that because I think that's huge. Getting out of your comfort zone. And I try to do that with my girls in lessons too. Like a lot of them, what did you feel on that? And they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know what I felt. I'm like, no, you got to think about it. I want something other than that. Let's go. So just those type of things. I think it's huge. Yeah, exactly. So a lot of them just don't like to talk. Yeah.
All the time. I will ask. So I had a group, I had a catcher's group last night, and everybody, it was yesterday was a day. I don't know why. Everyone was exhausted. They were stressed, rough day. And I was like, all right, ladies, what do you need to feel good about this session and get something out of it? Right. And I asked them the question. They all looked at me like I had horns going out of my ears. And I said, this is when you have to think and you have to make a decision. And then you communicate that decision to me. So let's try this again. What do you think would be beneficial for you guys in the session? And they're like,
I know. Yeah.
You have to make a decision.
It's literally like a stop sign. Like, oh, I don't want to talk.
Oh, I don't know. I can text it to you though.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But no, I thought that was huge because getting out of your comfort zone grew my confidence as well. So that made me a better leader in my qualities. So I think that was a big one.
I
think it's super important that we need to understand we've got to practice this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have to practice it. Yeah, just like you have to practice softball to be a better softball player, we've got to practice our leadership. And I've been doing it for years, and I don't stop practicing. Every day is a new challenge for me. And how am I going to take that challenge on? Right. So constantly practicing, and that awareness that I'm practicing. So.
Exactly. And leadership's going to evolve. You're going to learn from mistakes you make as a leader. And it happens. I mean, gosh, I remember, I think it was my senior year when I was team captain. There are things I would have done a heck of a lot different. Leadership is not, come on, let's go, when a teammate makes an error. No. Mm. But sometimes we feel like that's the, like, you know, what we have to do. Let's go. You got this. Come on. We need this. Whatever it is, right? You're not berating. You're not yelling at your teammate. You're lifting them up. And so there's an evolution of leadership that you continue going to develop as you grow through life. And it's important to have the awareness of, okay, in that situation, I need to do this a little bit better to be able to continue.
Definitely. And our leadership styles, I mean, we need to be aware our leadership styles will change as that evolution happens. And who we were as a leader in the middle school is probably not going to be look like what we are in high school or college. And then there are some key factors that affect our leadership style. And they are disasters. They are major life changes. They are, you know, things like moving. And moving can be as simple as moving from one softball organization to another.
It can change
and affect us and our leadership style. I can come in as a very loud, vibrant leader in one situation and be turned into, go to another situation where I'm very quiet and the listener. And so depending on where we are at and being okay with that, that I'm going to take those leadership approaches differently with every single situation that I'm in. So
we do it as parents every day.
Yeah. Every day. Actually, not just every day, like every half hour, every 15 minutes.
Every breathing moment. Yeah.
Absolutely. So
well, Nina, thank you so much for being with us. I know. Nina, you're the work that you've done is incredible. Congratulations. It's an honor to have you. I look forward to future conversations as we build up this community even more. But thank you so much for being on the show today.
Absolutely. And I just want to share one just beautiful leadership moment that I just got to witness a couple months ago. Very, very, very powerful. I was at state basketball and I was at the 1A and 2A state basketball tournament over at the Budweiser Event Center in Loveland. The state championship game for the 1A girls. And I can't remember the team from Denver. Flatirons Academy, I think was that, something along those lines.
Oh, right.
But the school that I was covering, Briggsdale, teeny tiny little community. Their graduating class is going to be 14 kids. They were in the state championship against this other team who they have played for the last couple years. Briggsdale had one heck of a team. They had six seniors, very, very talented group of girls playing basketball. It was a back and forth game, 2 points going, shifting all the way through the game. And as the game ended, Briggsdale was not your state champions. They took that second place trophy. But what happened after the presentation of trophies is what one of the most powerful leadership moments I have ever seen in a team, a teammate, and a group of young women, where the senior leader from Briggsdale circled everybody up and with a quivering voice, because she was so disappointed at their loss when they should have been state champs, she said a prayer of gratitude for being on that state floor, for competing against that team, and thanking the Lord for the opportunity in a moment that will go down in her life as one of the most disappointing moments. Mm-hmm. She brought an entire arena to silence by just being her and taking a gift that she had in a moment that was difficult. It just powerful, powerful, powerful moment of leadership. And how just being you is what will pull out your best leadership attributes that you have.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Absolutely. That's very cool.
That's awesome.
Very, I know. Very nobody cool. caught it on video.
Oh, everybody was in the moment.
Which is very cool because everybody was in the moment.
Where they should be, right?
And, absolutely.
But yeah. Well, hats off to her. What an exceptional young lady to be vulnerable and do that and to accept where she was and be strong in that moment. Yeah.
Amazing. So
good lesson for a lot of us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I loved hearing your story and everything that you do. And again, I'm super excited for more conversations with you.
Yes.
But yeah, any, to our listeners, obviously, please, like I say every single time, subscribe to our Facebook, our TikTok, any podcast platforms. We're on everything, you guys. So if you could click subscribe, share, like, that'd be awesome. But thank you for listening today. And we will talk with you guys soon.
Bye. Have a great day.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate the opportunity to get to share our experiences and knowledge with you. If you haven't had a chance yet, please hit that subscribe button so you can tune in on future episodes. And be sure to follow us on social media at Behind the Dish SB for future episode information and guests. Make it a great day.